We are talking this hour about responding biblically at mistreatment. Responding biblically at mistreatment. And I think we ought to pray. For sure, this is a tough topic. No matter how you measure or think through mistreatment, it relates to suffering, it relates to people and problems, and we don't want to deal with a topic like this without prayer and thoughtfulness. So Lord, we pray that you'd please give us wisdom as we contemplate this issue. Lord, we want to serve well. We want our counselees, our church members, our those for whom we're responsible, we want them to receive the kind of treatment and the kind of benefit from our ministry that blesses them and provides for them not just comfort, but provides for them the next steps toward sanctification, toward bringing you glory. So we pray that you would certainly give us that kind of wisdom as we treat with this issue, responding biblically at mistreatment. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's talk then about responding biblically in relationship to mistreatment. And if you'll notice, the first question we want to ask is, what do we mean and not mean by mistreatment? Now, here's my concern. My concern is that in today's world, a lot of what we talk about is abuse. And so abuse is a category that's not in the Bible, right? That's why there's so many different ways and so many different efforts to try to describe it. I had a conversation this morning about abuse, and when I was asking about abuse, they said, well, it would be a relationship that encourages spiritual and physical deterioration. So I said, well, then what is deterioration? Right? Whatever answer you give, you can always ask more answers, right? It becomes a fuzzy area. We're not sure where to go with it. So when we say, well, and as I was talking with this good brother, he was saying, well, if it's soul diminishing, then it would be associated with abuse. And in fact, what we eventually started talking about was normative sinfulness and abusive sinfulness. Right? So what's the difference between just normal sin and sin that rises to the category of abuse? I'm just asking you questions because what it does is it produces a hesitancy to know how to minister. Because we don't want to be the person who encourages someone to stay in an abusive relationship such that we are not rescuing, right? Psalm 82 verse 4 says, rescue the poor and needy, deliver them from the power of the wicked. So we don't want to be the individual who doesn't rescue, who there's someone that is poor and needy, and under our care, we fail to rescue them out of that kind of relationship. So we don't want to be that person, but we don't also want to put the world's glasses on so that everything we see is abusive. Right? We can be so trauma and clinically and abusive informed that we forget that we're supposed to first be Bible informed. And that what we used to call sin, we now call something else. And so there has to be some level of wisdom that we seek for in how we handle these particular issues. So when someone is controlling and they're deceitful and they are oppressive and that becomes a pattern of living, I think many of us would say, well, that has transitioned into what we would call some kind of abuse. So, my question is, so then what do we mean and not mean about mistreatment? I'm going to rephrase that. I think here's the issue. When we talk about this issue of mistreatment, we are specifically focused on the individual who's been sinned against. Right, so let's clarify who this is for. It's for us as biblical counselors seeking to help the person who's been sinned against. And it's the person who would come and say, not can I go. Right, I have a number of individuals that when they've been sinned against, the first stop, the first question they ask in counseling is, hey, here's our situation. Am I free? Can I go? Is it possible that this is enough for me to get out of this relationship? Right? They're looking for the eject button. They just want to make sure you put a spiritual parachute on them. So they're looking for the yes, you can go, and they're ready to go. And I understand why somebody would have that desire. So when we're talking about the mistreated in this particular session, we're really not talking to the person who's desiring to go. We're talking to the person who's really asking the question, how can I stay? This situation is rough. This situation is hard. So how do I help this person with a heart desire to stay? How do I help this person stay? Because I think that's where we have to do hard work. That's where we need to think carefully through it, because we do not want to implicitly or explicitly encourage people, especially if we're using the banner of abuse, just to ditch relationships. Marriage is difficult. As we were talking this morning early, again, I was talking to another biblical counselor. We were trying to think through some of these categories, and I was trying to run by him some of the ideas I had for you, because they asked me to teach this topic, and so this is a brand new topic in terms of in conferences. And so as I was talking to my friend this morning, one of the things I said is I could spin for you a tale that really isn't hard to spin. And if y'all have been doing a lot of marriage counseling, you know it's not hard to talk about a wife, and I'm going to put it on a wife just because usually we pick on the husbands on these, but it's not hard to talk to a husband where he would say, yes, we have a sexless marriage. I see that more often than I've ever seen it in counseling. Couples coming in 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. Recently, I talked to somebody 3 or 4 years where one of the two spouses refuses to have sex. So I'm in a sexless marriage, a wife that is down all the time. Some might even say she's depressed. She verbally never encourages me, accuses me of stuff. It is a harsh environment to live in. I feel like I am just drowning in discouragement because of living in this particular home. So you're listening and you say, so is this abuse, right? Is this lady verbally, emotionally, sexually abusing this particular husband? Or is this sin? Is it mistreatment? Is it hard, right? What exactly is he describing? We could ask that for counselee after counselee. That's the point. And for some of you, your definition of abuse is going to be very broad. For others, it's going to be very narrow. So we're not really trying to answer the question, is it abuse or not? That's not, or is this mistreatment versus abuse? We're not trying to do that this hour. What we're basically trying to help you do is, how do I help the individual who has been sinned against? How do I help them stay? How do I help them move forward? How do I help that person make a decision that's going to best honor the Lord? Here are some questions. When we hear of mistreatment, and again, mistreatment, maybe, it, again, depends on how wide it is, but it may be close to abuse. So what do we need to ask when we hear mistreatment? The first one is this person safe? Right, because we do not want to misapply any biblical text so that